listen to what it says. This is from Volume 4, The Spiritual Gift, Volume 8, page 150. It says this, in the Pen of Inspiration. Satan caused the fall of the first Adam, and he boasted to his angels that he would succeed with the second Adam, Jesus, by approaching Jesus through appetite. Satan knew, listen now, Satan knew he could lead astray through appetite sooner than any other way. I thought about that a lot. I thought about that a lot because it troubled me. I said, Lord, what is it about appetite? What is it about food? What is it about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh that is just such a pull on mankind? We're going to talk about that today because the Bible has a lot to say about it. And if we see that Satan boasted, listen friends, Satan boasted to his angels, you watch me. I got Adam on appetite. I'll get you. What do you think he's boasting to his angels about us? You see, this is not a subject where we can say, food is food. Just like gas is not gas. Turn in your Bibles, as we start today, to Isaiah chapter 60. In Isaiah chapter 60, we see God talking about what is going to happen just before He comes. God is talking to His people, and this is what He says in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says to the prophet Isaiah, to his people, arise. Now, anytime someone says arise, what does that connote? Someone sleeping. Jesus here says to his people, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all say that the glory of God is risen on us? You see, you cannot... I love what a friend of mine, Tony Hall. Tony Hall says, in order to keep it, you got to give it away. In order to keep the glory of God, in order to have the glory of God, you got to share it. You got to show others what God has done for you. And here God is telling His people, look, the time has come to wake up. Why? Because I have the glorious light of the gospel shining all around you in the first, second, and third evening messages. And there is a world that's asleep that needs to hear the message that we have. Now, verse 2, He tells us why He wants us to get up. For behold, notice God doesn't say darkness covers the earth. He says, the darkness. God is saying here, there is a special darkness that comes at the very end. A darkness maybe such as the world has not seen. Why is it a darkness such as the world has not seen? Here's what I think. I think that God calls this a darkness such as the world has not seen because we all think we're enlightened. We all think we are the smartest generation that ever lived. Now, friends, it really disturbs me. It really disturbs me, this move in some higher echelons of Adventism where professors of biology and geology are actually thinking that the creation story isn't right. You can't get any more gross darkness than that. So look at the human body and think that it could evolve out of nothing is as stupid and ridiculous as someone saying, see New York City? It wasn't there like that. There was a big explosion and everything was there this morning. The escalators, the elevators, the taxi cabs, JFK, even all the airplanes came out of that big explosion. Would you believe that for a minute? is when they think they know the truth. And that's what God is talking about here. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and what? Gross darkness. I love the buts of the Bible. Notice it says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the throne of thy God. Friends, that is a promise of God's blessing our evangelism when we're doing it His name. God is saying the kings are going to come, the Gentiles are going to come when you are letting the light of God shine through you, when you are willing to risk ridicule and contempt to preach the true Jesus messages. God says, I will send people to you. Friends, aren't you looking forward to the day when we open up our doors in an evangelistic meeting? God's promise it would happen. And so what God is saying here is He wants us to understand that there's going to be a gross darkness upon the people. Friends, it's amazing me today, in all the talk of health care reform, we have not heard a word, or very, very few words, about life science. When up to 80, according to good research, up to 80% of many lifestyle diseases could be prevented or greatly reversed, if not entirely reversed, through lifestyle change. Where is the talk in the healthcare reform of the simplest thing we have to do? Why is it happening? Because the world's darkness is working. Now, look what Jesus said about this over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26, notice what Jesus said. Jesus says here in Luke chapter 26, Luke chapter 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What's God saying? People were involved in life as normal. Even though, can you imagine in that day, as people saw the animals coming, the cleansed by seven, the uncleansed by two, without anybody leading them out of the woods, they're all coming, the birds are flying, the snails are crawling, the turtles are moving, everybody's coming into the ark, nobody's leading them, and people still didn't think there was something special about that. That's gross darkness. That's gross darkness. They had become so convinced that Noah was a lunatic, that Noah could not know what he was talking about, that even when God gave them a supernatural manifestation that he was about to do something out of the ordinary, nobody would. That's close enough. Involved in life, involved in the normal lifestyle, and ignoring the fact. Notice verse 28. God doesn't stop there. God says in verse 28, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Friends, these are two examples of gross darkness where the people didn't even look at the evidence, but went on about their lifestyles without trying to change what happened. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. We're getting to Daniel here in just a minute. We've got to set the stage for it. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus tells us, just before the day comes, notice what he says, take heed to yourself. He says in verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When Jesus says, in 6 days I created, those words will not pass away. He's saying heaven and earth might pass away, but those words will not pass away. Notice Jesus says that just before he comes, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that they come upon you unawares. notice in all three examples, with Noah, with Lot, and here, Jesus is saying that the cares of the world, the cares of life, the normal routine we're going through, has become so commonplace, so fixed, and so set, we won't listen to anybody, we're satisfied where we are, and the day's going to come and run away. But that word surfeiting there is very interesting. That word surfeiting means, let me read to you what it says in a commentary called Family Bible Notes. This is not an Adventist commentary. Notice what it says. The word surfeiting in the Greek means excessive eating and drinking. And then this is what the commentary says. Excessive eating and drinking tend not only to produce various diseases, they were very advanced in the second age, but to blind the mind, stupefy the conscience, and corrupt the heart. Can I read this for you again? Excessive eating and drinking tend not only to produce various diseases, but to blind the mind, stupefy the conscience, and corrupt the heart. Christians, it goes on, Christians should not indulge in these sins, which will unfit them for the discharge of their duty and prevent them from being prepared for the coming of Christ. It's interesting, in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, the Bible says, in commenting on Sodom, we read what Jesus just said about Sodom, and in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, the Bible says that the sin of Sodom was excess, was an increase in idleness, and excessive bread. They had too much to eat and too much free time to eat. Are we there? Let's look at another example. Let's look at now Proverbs chapter 30, which is our text for this morning. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through 9. Notice what it says here. Every word of God is pure. Don't you love that? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Notice he says in verse 6, add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. In other words, when we read the counsel, when we read a message, when we hear a message, we say, now, but that's for somebody else, it's not for me. God may have said it back then, but it's not for now. God says, add not to my words. Notice verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. This is Solomon now talking to God. Deny me not then before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That word convenient in the Hebrew means my proper portion. In other words, Solomon is saying, Lord, don't let me be alone. Don't let me be alone. Notice what he says next. Feed me with food convenient for me. Don't let me be a glutton, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is full? Isn't that what we just read from Family Bible Notes? That surfacing leads to dulling of the conscience and hardening of the heart. Friends, that's exactly what Pharaoh said when Moses came down with a message. He said, Pharaoh, things got to change in Egypt. Time for the people to go. And what did Pharaoh say? Who is God that I should obey His voice? You see, God comes to us today, a loving God who wants to free us from the slavery of appetite, from the slavery of inordinate lifestyle. He comes to us and says, I got a solution. We say, who is the Lord that I should obey? Now, let's get a little deeper into this. Proverbs chapter 20, let's get by that one. If you look at the history of sin in the earth, this is what we have. What was the temptation that caused the whole thing to start? Come on, sister, you hum dad right over there. What was the temptation that caused the whole thing to start? Pain. Something that God said, be careful. what happened in Noah's time. Jesus told us in Luke 17, they were eating, drinking, everything was going on as normal. What happened in the days of Lot? Jesus told us the same thing. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. What happened with Israel? The Lord brings Israel out of Egypt. What's the first thing God does? Versatile diet. You can read it in Numbers chapter 11. They could beat it, they could cook it, they could do all kinds of things with it. It wasn't just the same thing. It's not like eating french fries every day. This is something they could do a lot of stuff with. It was very versatile. It smelled wonderful. It looked beautiful like bdellium, a beautiful color. And yet, Satan still convinced Israel. In Numbers chapter 11, they said, all we have is manna. What? They had angel food. Are you with me? Gross darkness. They have the best, they have the very food that angels are eating in heaven and living forever. And they're complaining on earth. Then we come down to Jesus in the wilderness. What was the first temptation of Jesus in the wilderness? Appetite. Then we come to Acts chapter 15, verses 28 and 29. When it seemed like there was temptation going on even in the early church, because they had to write a letter to the early Christians saying, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled. You see what that is? That's right. Friends, are you seeing a common thread running through this? Now let's go to Babylon. But before we go to ancient Babylon, let's go to modern Babylon. Are you with me? Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verse 6. Now, friends, this is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 16. Revelation chapter 14. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 16. That the light that is to shine in gross darkness. That message that will come just before Jesus comes. And verse 6 says, I saw another angel. And we know that in the book of Revelation, angels mean messengers. They can be human or heavenly. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the what? The everlasting gospel. Jesus said in Proverbs chapter 30, don't add to my words, it's everlasting. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, these nations where there is gross darkness that's covering the earth, what's the message? Staying with a what? A loud voice. Don't you love that? This isn't a message they're confident of. You don't say, if you're sitting in class and the teacher asks you a question and you get the wrong answer, you say, 5 + 5 = 42. And say it with a loud voice, so you can really look stupid. We just kind of mumble the answer. Try to avoid embarrassment. This is a group of people who know their message. This is a group of people who have lived their message. This is a group of people who have experienced the mercy of God in calling them out of gross darkness into His marvelous light so they can share. Friends, let me dispel a myth right now. One of the greatest darkness myths that Satan has put on us as Seventh-day Adventists is that the health message is a burden. My Bible tells me that God does not make us burdened. God only gives us things that will make us more like Him, that will set us free from slavery to sin, that will lighten the load that we carry here. That's a lie that Satan told them. But notice what they say. They say with a loud voice, fear God and give what? Glory to Him, for the hour before judgment came there. That's the same message the angels were preaching to Lot before judgment came there. You see, before judgment comes, in an hour of gross darkness, God preaches a message of mercy. And this message of health is a merciful message that God is preaching to a people that are in gross darkness. Now listen, he says, give glory to Him. Do you realize that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul tells us, you are not your own. I've heard people say, Dan, don't tell me to do with my body. It's mine. God says, no, it's not. He says, you are not your own. You're a ball of Christ. Therefore, glorify God. That's the first angel's message. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not. It also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, friends, that brings in everything in life. That whatsoever is a big word. When I said to my wife, you got to live with me whatsoever I do, she says, I will, I do. I don't think she's ever been sorry for it. I hope not. She didn't answer. Oh, I'm a little nervous there for a minute. I want to talk after the message, sweetheart. You see, God says, whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. And friends, here's why. Let me read to you what the Pen of Inspiration tells us on this point. Listen to this. This is Counsels on Health, page 505. Listen to this carefully. This is really heavy. If we would elevate the moral standard, are you with me? If we would elevate the moral standard in any country, we may be called to go. It's all over the world. We must begin by correcting their physical habits. Did you hear that? If we would elevate the moral standard in any country we may be called to go, we must begin by correcting the physical habits. Do you realize that the basis of all true evangelism is health ministry? Listen to this. Ministry of Healing 143. We all know this and we probably memorize it. Christ's method alone will give true success. Is there such a thing as false success? Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. Well, listen to what he did. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. You realize what she's saying there? Listen to this. The Savior mingled among men as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy for them. He met their emotional needs. He ministered to their needs. He met their physical needs. He won their confidence, psychological needs. And then he said, follow me, spiritually. You see, true evangelism, when there's gross darkness on the earth, has to cover all four. Physical, spiritual, mental, and psychological. Now listen to this one. This is Evangelism, page 514. Listen to this. The union of Christ-like work for the body and Christ-like work for the soul is the true interpretation of the gospel. Are we living in Babylon today? We are, because the very next verse, the very next angel that comes says, Babylon has fallen, has fallen. That means that right after this message begins to be preached, Babylon meets her demise. Why? Because this message causes Babylon. Do you know why Satan hates the health message so much? Because as the health message starts to go forward, and we start winning people's hearts and winning people's minds, and they start seeing the light of the gospel, and the gross darkness of Babylon begins to fall away, Babylon. Friends, do you realize the message God has entrusted to us? This is not about how I feel. This is about the advancement of God. How I feel is how I am. thinking that the health message is drudgery. The health message is this. The health message is that. Friends, the health message is the everlasting gospel in its right place. You got to keep it connected with the Bible. Now, let's go into early Babylon to see what happens in later Babylon. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. I love the book of Daniel. Daniel is a powerful book. And I think it's really interesting that Daniel chapter 1 is Daniel chapter 1. You know, a book of prophecy should start with a prophecy, right? The first book, the first major book of prophecy in the Bible, starts with the health message. Now, if I had been writing the Bible and God wasn't telling me what to write, I would have made Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 12. I would have made it a health message. But God says, friends, it's time to break out of the McNugget mentality in the Adventist church. We need to make the health message a foundation building point for our new believers. Because when we clear the mind, the body falls. And the health message helps us to clear our mind so we can understand God's truth. Notice Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, let's start at verse 3. And the king gave unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, friends, do you realize what we're reading here? Nebuchadnezzar didn't take just anybody. He took Cleveland. He took the Harvard grad. He took the Yale grad. He took the smartest and the best. You see, the marvelous thing about this story is God is setting up circumstances to do through four Hebrew boys what the whole nation had been doing. God had intended that the Israelites would have been evangelizing this nation. But when they sat down on their knees and just let life go on as normal, God said, I've got to do something radical. I'm going to let them go into captivity. And I'll get four little boys to do what the whole nation should have done. God has never in a lack of a powerful voice called the prophet. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. And let's look at what God did in literal Babylon. Now, here are some young men. And it's interesting that before judgment falls on Babylon, judgment's going to fall on Babylon in 70 short years. Before judgment falls on Babylon, God sends His people who believe the truth, who keep the Ten Commandments, into a foreign nation covered in darkness to preach the three angels' message. You can go through the book of Daniel and uncover the three angels' message right now. And where did it start? Where did it start? With a dream about the future? No, it started with Daniel taking a stand on us. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end they might stand before the king. What is that? Here were Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, captives in a foreign land, being treated like royalty. Stay with me. They deserve a dungeon. They deserve a ball and chain. But Nebuchadnezzar brings them into the royal court and they're eating and sleeping. Imagine the temptation that Satan is now bringing to these three Hebrew boys as they look at the food that Nebuchadnezzar has placed before them, as they look at the wine that Nebuchadnezzar has placed before them. No mom and dad to tell them what to do. They're 17 years old, perhaps, maybe a little bit older. At the very time we tell ourselves, our young people need to sow their wild oats, Daniel's saying, I don't have any wild oats to sow. I've got to serve God on this thing. for Nebuchadnezzar, these are the sounds of it. That would be rude. Look how well he's treated. The tent of inspiration says it this way. Poor Bible commentary. Page 1167. Daniel and his companions knew not what would be the result of their decision. They knew not but that it would cost them their lives. And they determined to keep the straight path of strict temperance, even in the course of life. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was not an easy guy to work with. He was not an equal opportunity. You don't do what Nebuchadnezzar says. You go, you're in the fiery furnace. That is not an easy guy. But they knew that they turned away. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. Some people will take this and run way far the other way. They become so unbending and so rigid and they become unbearable to bear. That's what they're doing. Because the Bible also says this. Just to show the balance of the Scriptures. Notice what it says. Verse 7. No. Down in verse 9. God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of Egypt. Daniel was such a wonderful, kind, loving, balanced person that he won the respect of everybody. You know, we went into a church once to do some health meetings in another state. I'm not going to say where it was. And some people said, look, you don't want to come here to do health because people here don't believe in the health message. Look, we're going to come and we're going to have a good time. If just one person comes to our meeting, that'll be more than we had before, right? Hey, if you hold a health meeting and only one person comes, that's 100% more than you had before, right? If nobody comes, you still do what God told you to do, right? God's not about numbers, Brother Al. God's about faithfulness. So we walked into this. We had a good group on Friday night, good group on Sabbath morning. We're getting ready to go to fellowship. And we noticed the people that invited us, they had a little group that all started down this aisle, this side of the church, and all the rest of the church was going down this side. And I was standing looking at both of them, and I looked at the lady that invited us and said, somebody else going to church? She said, oh, well. Should we be balanced? Should we take a stand for God? Should we be so loving that everyone feels comfortable with us? That doesn't mean we compromise. Friends, if the church isn't bringing what you can eat, make enough to feed the whole church. Right? It works. Well, this is where Daniel is. Daniel's in this dilemma. And the Bible says that because of his balanced life, because of the way he lived, God had brought him into favor with the prince of the eunuch. Now notice, in verse 8 it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Verse 10. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, are you kidding? That's Daniel's paraphrase. So are you kidding? I fear my lord the king who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which have your sword? You'll make me endanger my head to the king. You know, don't you hear the same argument today? Well, if you eat a healthy lifestyle, you're going to get puny and you're going to shrivel up and blow away. Your brain's going to get weak. You've got to have this and you've got to have that and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Daniel heard the same thing. Friends, there's nothing to do. Even Satan's arguments are the same. But notice what Daniel does. This is really interesting. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Now you want to hear something interesting? Listen to this. This is again from Four Bible Commentary, page 1167. In taking this step, asking for 10 days, Daniel did not act rashly. Listen to me, friends. Listen closely. He knew that by the time he was called to appear before the king, the advantage of healthy living would be apparent. Daniel said to Melzar, who had been given charge over him, "Prove thy servants thy deficiency 10 days, and give us palsy and water to drink." And then she says, Daniel knew that 10 days would be enough time to prove the benefit of right living. Jesus. Daniel. Now what Daniel did is he said, "God, I'm taking a stand for you. Now you take a stand for me." Can you do that with God? When we make a stand for God, God will stand for us. Okay? So Daniel says, "God, give me 10 days. And for 10 days, they live God's life. And the Bible says that after those 10 days, what does it say? Their faces were fairer and fatter. Their intellect was sharper than any other kids in the realm. Did God work a miracle, Pastor? Yes, He worked a miracle. But the miracle was based on Look at this. Look at this. I love this. Let me ask a question for you before you go on. What would have happened if Daniel and his three friends had not been there? Let's suppose not. What would have happened if Daniel and his three friends had caved? They probably would have gone on and been stellar students. They were pretty smart young men. We saw the qualifications here in Daniel. They probably would have stolen their schooling. They probably would have still been in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Life would have gone on as normal. And then Daniel 2 would have happened. The king has his dream. Nobody can serve it. The good news today, God says there may be someone in this crowd that's been struggling with their weight all their lives. Someone in this crowd struggling with a certain food item. I used to be a physical person. Anybody with me on that? Be addicted to something. You know, we had a friend, brother. By the way, I love the piano. A Twinkie brain can't play the piano. We had a friend whose father worked for the company that makes Twinkies. You know what the shelf life of a Twinkie is? 20 years. He said they embalm them. They're like little pharaohs wrapped in cellophane. In fact, I heard a report on NPR that a public school teacher wanted to see how long one of those would last. He put it up on his chalkboard in 1973. It was still there in 2000. So if you want to eat a Twinkie, they're good for bomb shelter. They'll last a long time. Now, we're not saying you should never have a sweet. That's not what God is saying. But you know, we're eating too much, right? God says, whatever struggle you have, whatever you're struggling with today, God is in the business. God has made your brain sweat. You'll be good for years. Friends, no one in this room needs to be discouraged. No one in this room needs to feel defeated. No one in this room needs to feel like you've really messed up. Even if you have, God says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." I can take a broken life and mend it. I can take a broken life and heal it. I can take a person who's never had a single victory in their life. Don't let Satan tell you a lie for one more day. you have had nothing but downfalls and defeats, you're the ones that God can use more than anyone else. Because you can stand before people and say, look at me. You want to know where I was? Let me tell you what God's done. Satan doesn't want any of you to feel that courage today. Satan doesn't want any of you to feel that power today. But I'm here to tell you today, based on Daniel chapter 1 and the other scriptures, that God says that gross darkness is covering the earth, and it's time for you to say, the light has risen upon me, and from this day forward, I can be used of God. We were doing a Lifestyle Matters seminar up in Corpus Flint. There was a man named, you might not have even, Jim Vandeworth. Jim Vandeworth at the time weighed 320 pounds. And Jim was a table reader. You know what the people at his table called him? They called him Jumbo Jet Jim. And they said, Jumbo Jet, why are you a table reader? Why are you at this meeting? He said, because we're all learning this together. We're all going to have the business together. We're all going to do this together. And you know what? Jim lost 180. His wife said, Jim's a new man. Who has heard God's voice calling him. They've seen Daniel's dilemma and have seen the stand that Daniel took. Friends, at the end of 3 years, Daniel was 10 times wiser than anyone else. You want to put God to the test? Is there someone here? I'm not going to ask what you're struggling with. I'm not going to ask you to do any of that. I'm just going to say, if you have a burden on your heart, something that you want to do for God, if it's health, that's fine, if it's diet, that's fine, if it's lifestyle, whatever it might be, and you say, Lord, today I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to step out in faith like Daniel stepped out in faith. With babbling, friends, listen, babbling is all around. We need to get as careful as Daniel was. There's someone here today. I heard your voice calling me to fix it. Lord, with that thing I've been struggling with, I realize now you've made my brain to overcome. Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life. There's one person. Well, there's just one. The Lord knows the struggle that you're having. The Lord knows the burden of your heart. Maybe it's not a struggle. Maybe you just want to look more for the Lord. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, I want to renew my commitment to you today to be your man, your woman, to bring light to a world in gross darkness, to bring the light of the Christ's messages into Babylon that's going to fall very soon. Maybe there's something like that. If you just want to stand here and say, Lord, use me in your service. Use me for your kingdom. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 5, I will satisfy your mouth with good things. So your youth is renewed like the eagle. Father in heaven, do you see the people that have stood their feet here today? Some are making a new commitment. Some are recommitting their lives to you. Others have been struggling. Satan has made them feel hopeless, helpless, and worthless. But we thank you today that you are the Lord, the God of all flesh. We thank you today, Lord, that you have said, I can take nothing. And Lord, I pray that as we meet here today in fellowship then and then again this afternoon, as we learn your powerful plan for deliverance, as we learn your marvelous mercy to help us through the struggles that we face, the power that you promised to make us more than conquerors in our lives. Lord, may we look to Daniel and realize that we can do what he has done through faith in the God that gave him. Thank you, Lord.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2009. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.